this is the last week of this class through Building One Another Up. If you do want to grab an outline in the back, that'll really help help us get through this material. But today we're talking about partnering together for ministry. And this is another lesson that I've adapted basically a chapter from Jerry Bridges, added a few things. But I think this is real helpful for us. So maybe we should start with a word of prayer. Gracious God, we do thank you that you are building your church. We thank you, Jesus, that you are keeping your promises. And Lord, it is your faithfulness that will build us up, will sanctify us, will lead us, even grow us. And so, Lord, I pray that you would show your will for us. Lord, that we would be your humble servants. Lord, that you would teach us your desires and your heart, that we might have hearts that are shaped more and more after yours. We do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so here in this class, we have been talking about building one another up. We've seen that Christ is building his church. We've seen that he's using every member. He's using everything we do. And he's doing this so that he can display his love in us and through us and to us. And so we are to be doing many things to and for one another. Really, and that way we should see this is that this is what Christ is doing in and through us. We are to speak the truth to one another. We're to speak the word of Christ to one another. Speak the things of Scripture, the things of God. Repeat these to one another. we're to seek one another's holiness. We're to share with one another. We're to serve one another. We're to suffer with one another. These are not all things. In fact, none of these are things that I would say come naturally to us. We are empowered to do these things by the Holy Spirit. And I think we've all seen throughout this, boy, there's so much higher what Jesus' vision for the church is than what I'm doing. And yet this is where we all recognize we are here by grace. We are dependent upon him. And we all recognize that we need forgiveness from him and daily repentance. And so I hope this is helpful in driving us again to the gospel, driving us to see the great glory of what Christ is doing, has done for us, and is doing in our lives. So this topic of partnering, fellow, and really it's from the word Greek word koinonia. It means sometimes translated partnership, sometimes as fellowship, sometimes as sharing, sometimes as a shared life is the idea that's behind it. Would someone read Philippians 1, 3 through 5 as it's written here in the outline?
I thank my God with all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now.
Okay, so there's he's talking about partnership in the gospel. He's saying that there is a way that we share in the gospel. We take part in the gospel work with one another, and particularly Paul is writing as he's an apostle. He's given his life to preaching the good news of Jesus Christ to areas that haven't heard it before. And he's rejoicing because there are others who have partnership in that work. Even though Paul is kind of the key guy as we look at these missionary journeys, we see that he doesn't see it as just a one-man show. And in fact, it can't be a one-man show. He's recognizing that he needed the partnership of others that were co-laboring with him. And so recognizing that this is a commission that's not just given to Paul. This is a mission that Christ gives to the whole church. And we could look at Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." So there's the Great Commission that's also recorded in all the other Gospels and also in the book of Acts. But this mission that Christ has given to the church, we have a mission. And so, we think about building one another up, and often the way that we've looked at that in this class is we kind of turn toward each other and what should we be doing in each other's lives. But this is actually a way to see that all of those things should actually happen as we're not just turned in on ourselves, but actually we're sharing in a common mission. We're building one another up, not because we're focusing on building one another, but we're building one another up as we share in the same tasks. And so we are spurring one another on towards that mission, that goal that's common to all of us. And really it's that we bring the gospel to the whole earth, that we share the good news of Christ, that we live in testimony to Him, and teaching others to observe all that He's commanded. Okay. So how can we partner together? How can we do this? Well, there are three areas I want to look at, and the first one is partnering by prayer. Would someone read Philippians 1:18-19?
Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice, yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance.
Okay, so Paul has confidence that what he is going through, and recall, this is Paul in prison, Paul has confidence that this is going to turn out for his deliverance. This may not be exactly the deliverance that often set our eyes on, is that, oh boy, everything would work out right fine for me. I think he's talking about that he may be given opportunity to fully attest to the work of Jesus Christ, and that may be going onward to his death that did happen later in his life. But he has this confidence in part because of what? Because of your prayers. There are others that have been praying for Paul. And so Paul is doing this ministry recognizing that there are other people praying for him. And that gives him confidence. That spurs him on. It's through your prayers and the help of Jesus Christ that this will turn out for my deliverance. Now, of course, we what is prayer? Prayer is not I'm communing with some, you know, like the witches, there are real people that call themselves witches today. They think that they have power to interact with elemental forces and spirits, and through that they themselves have power. This is not how we view prayer. Prayer is actually laying hold of God. Prayer is actually communing with God and recognizing that all power is His, and we have confidence that as we pray, God hears us. Now, we also know that God's sovereign, and so how can that be? You know, if I'm praying, can I change God's mind? Well, no. No, the beauty, though, is that God is sovereign over all things, and who is sovereign over all things has not only ordained what He's going to do, but He's also ordained that we're going to pray for things that He's going to do that are in accord with His will. And so He gets the glory not only of doing those things, but in being the answerer of prayer. And so when we're on our knees, let's say that we're pleading for family members that do not know the Lord. And, think of the life of Augustine. His mother saw him living a wicked life and was praying. Monica was praying for her son, pleading with God. The bishop said, God's not going to refuse these tears. And praise the Lord.
What was her name?
Monica, I believe.
Oh, in the Bible?
No, Augustine is long after the Bible.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
So she prayed fervently, and God was pleased to answer her prayer. And that's not because she changed God's mind, but it was God's mind that she should pray, and that He would be glorified in being the answer of prayer. And we see this not just in praying for ourselves and things that are near and dear to us, but as we partner with others and pray fervently for them, that we are, it's as if we are partnering with them. We're sharing with their ministry as
you
we pray.
You mean Tammy Faye Baker was wrong?
I don't know who that is.
I'm sorry. It's because you're so young.
Okay.
It was a TV evangelistic show. that they promised if you prayed and sent them money, that it would be like tenfold back to you.
Oh, yeah. There are some teachers that are looking to...
It was like a laughable thing. Yeah. She was over made up and...
Yeah. Well, we do need to be... Yeah, let's not get our view of prayer and partnership in the gospel from people who are... wolves in sheep's clothing, televangelists.
Well, yeah, think of their eternal life, you know, yeah. By misinterpreting and asking for things for themselves.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, Christ has some very severe words to say. If you look at the prophet Ezekiel, and he's talking to the shepherds who... They feast themselves and they don't give the sheep what they need. And this is those that would use even the ministry to use for personal gain. And they don't actually shepherd the sheep. They don't actually teach the things of God. They don't actually live the things that they're speaking. Yeah. Okay, so Paul saw his need for prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:25, real short, brothers, pray for us. Let's turn to three passages, though. Maybe could someone take Colossians 4:3-4? Anyone?
I need one of the Bibles provided in here that I took home to fix, and it never got fixed.
Okay. Colossians 4:3-4, and then if somebody else would grab Ephesians 6:19.
No, it's not in here.
And maybe I'll grab the 2 Thessalonians 3:1-2.
Who else? Do you want me to go get a Bible provided so I can read it?
Maybe one of our young people would grab a Bible for Miss Rita.
Thank you.
Okay.
I love young people.
Yeah, it's nice to have eager servants.
Look how fast he is.
Okay, so who's got Colossians 4:3-4?
I do.
Oh, you got it.
Or Rita, why don't you get Ephesians 6:19? Because I think... Okay. Cecil already has Colossians 4.
Colossians 4:3-4.
Yes.
There's
at the
Colossians
same time, pray also
Ephesians.
For us, that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak.
Okay. Paul is clear that he needs prayer. And that's not just a general thing. Paul actually gives specific things. These are things you need to be praying for. There's opposition to the gospel here. Pray for us. Pray that we would be clear. We need to be clear when we're speaking the things of God. Not be muddled and confused, because that's not going to be helpful to those that are hearing us. Paul's praying, would you pray for me in these things? Ephesians 6:19. Rita, would you?
Can I start with 18?
Sure.
Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. I've heard that preached, that if you have prayed, that he will give you the words, that you don't have, they don't really have to be produced in your brain, because he is almighty and can put them in your mouth. That's what it says right here.
Well, yeah, but the words may be given me. I think we need to recognize that we can take this to mean, okay, well, I just need to be like a Zen Buddhist and empty
my mind
of all things, and then God's going to just magically put words there.
No, it's not like magic. Yeah. It's like when you have prayed, that the prayer and the communication with God will come back and go out.
Well, and I think it has to do with, a prayer, our communion with God, but also, fellowshipping with Him and His Word. We're hearing what God has said to us. We're hearing His words, so that when we speak, that flows out of us.
Right.
We are so filled with the Word of God that I think the phrase that I've heard of, you know, pastors that are just, they're so much more holy than I am. They're so much more in communion with God than I often find I am. And it's as if you pricked them, they bleed biblical. the Bible just flows out of them. And I think that that's part of what Paul is praying for. Paul's praying that at the moment that I need to speak, that what God wants to come out of me will come out of me because he's so worked it into me. But the key things that we're seeing here is that Paul's recognizing that not only is he praying for this, but he's saying, you guys need to pray with me for this. You can partnership in this ministry that I have by praying for me, with me. 2 Thessalonians 3:1-2. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from the wicked and evil men. For not all have faith. So again, Paul is saying, okay, we're facing some opposition here. Can you labor with us, suffer with us? We talked about suffering together last week, but can you labor with us in prayer? Now that's an amazing thing when you think about this, because Christ gives us a mission. We're to preach the gospel to all nations. We're to make disciples of all nations. Are we limited to hey, we're in Wichita, Kansas. How can I do that? Well, the demonstration in the New Testament is that we can actually take part in that mission as it goes out to other nations. By the way, we are another nation here. It does need to go out here too. But the way Jerry Bridges talks about this is that, boy, we can get on our knees for a half hour and spend a half hour with missionaries that are in Pakistan. They don't have to be laboring alone. In fact, they shouldn't be. We can take part in this mission that Christ has given the whole church. In fact, he would have us do that. Laboring side by side with those who are there because we pray for them. Because we're calling God to act. Because we're asking for God to defend them from those that are hostile to the gospel. We can labor together in this way. And this not only builds them up, but it builds us up as we see Christ answering prayers and using us in labor together.
I think it would be beautiful if all, like the Ecumenical Council of Churches, all united to spread the gospel in a more efficient way. I think each denomination sending people, you know, is like getting in a, spinning your wheels in mud, because here there's been somebody before you, and, you know, it just doesn't make sense to me to be so non-ecumenical.
I agree with you in the sense of the true church. We need to recognize, though, that sometimes saying we all need to be partnering together to preach the gospel, it really points out that there are denominations that we don't agree even with the gospel on. And so that's often a hurdle, but then also,
we're all on the same page, yeah, as far as what we're preaching.
Exactly. And as we have opportunity, we want to be embracing and seeking to build those the fellowship and camaraderie in the gospel. So that just this last Friday, Heartland Presbytery is the PCA. There are actually two PCA churches in town. They're not the same denomination as we are, but we have so much common theology, so much fellowship. I came to their meeting as a fraternal delegate, and I'm for that very thing, trying to good. What can we do together? How can we strengthen the bonds that we have?
It's been 200 years.
It's been
Since Christ.
2,000 years, yeah.
Right. Yeah. 2,000.
Yeah. So
my math brain's off.
A lot to be said there. Romans 15, 30-31. Would someone read that?
I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the believers in Judea, and that my service for these may be acceptable to the saints.
Okay. So again, you know, we've looked at just several of these and seen how Paul is asking for specific things in prayer because he recognizes that God answers prayer. The power of prayer is not prayer itself, but the power of prayer is God himself. And so we need to be praying for one another. We need to be lifting up those that are doing ministry. And that's not only for people far away. Do you pray for the ministry of this church? Do you pray for your elders here? Do you pray for counseling that we might be doing in the congregation? Do you pray for the deacons? Deacons, this week have had opportunity to help people that were in a very, very difficult financial straits. Do you pray for the Lord to be blessing the work of our deacons? If you know that a member of your family is going to have opportunity to be speaking or with a non-Christian, do you pray for that opportunity? This is partnering together, ways that we can show our solidarity, that we can lift one another up, that we can build one another up in doing what God would have us do. Now, just to often I find our attitude can be, I don't want to just pray, I want to do something. And yet that shows that we don't believe that praying is doing something. Praying is doing something because God is real. Because God really does answer prayers. Because there really are things that we cannot do. And we lay those before God, and He is pleased to do them. And we rejoice in Him. So let us remember how central prayer is. Matthew 9:35-38.
And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. Praise God. Mm-hmm. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Yeah. Analogy of preaching and teaching to the unbelievers to bring them into the fold, right?
Well, yeah. So the fields are ripe for harvest. Is saying that there are people that the Spirit has worked on such that if they hear the gospel, they will believe. They're ready. And therefore, what needs to happen? Somebody needs to go and speak to them. Paul says, how will they believe if they've not heard? They need to hear. We need to pray that the Lord would send people to speak on his word. Pray for ministers. Pray for Christians that are just interested to speak with their neighbors about the gospel. Pray for those people. Pray for laborers. And that's the striking thing that Jesus does. Is this isn't just a plea. Okay, now you need to start. You need to go do it and presume that you're the one that's to do it. Now, what he calls all of us to be doing is praying. This is a ministry that all of us can do. Every Christian can pray. Every Christian should pray. This should be as natural to Christians as breathing is. Not breathing to a fish, but breathing to humans. We breathe because, hey, how would we live without it? Well, we should pray because how could we commune with God? How could we continue as Christians if we don't pray? Prayerlessness is evidence of unbelief. So pray. This is very practical, and we often think of, there's poor nations that have no one preaching the gospel. Yes, we need to be praying for those nations. Pray for pulpits. I was just struck again at a meeting with this other presbytery and getting some statistics from our own denomination. We have 12% of our pulpits empty. 12%. Needing pastors. Harvest is plentiful. There are people that want to hear God's word preached. They want to have someone preaching to them. Pray that the Lord would raise up young men for the ministry. Pray for men that have been in ministry to not be burned out. Pray diligently for these things. We've recently had some congregations get organized, and that means they're no longer mission churches. But we still have, and even have just heard news this week of another. There's church planting going on. There's four new churches for our presbytery. That's not even speaking for the whole denomination. That's four new churches for our presbytery. One in Columbia, Missouri. One down in San Antonio, Texas. One's been there for a while in Casper, Wyoming. There's another one that's just starting in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Praise the Lord. God is gathering a core group. God is gathering people together. Pray for laborers. Pray for the ministry to be sustained. Pray for the church to grow there. Pray, that this work of compassion would come up. Jesus is healing. He's bringing real, even physical, showing physical compassion for them. Indeed, pray that people with servants' hearts would come and join in the labors of Christ. We join in that same labor by praying for it. We partner with that same ministry and take part in ourselves by praying. Boy, we're going to run out of time as usual. partnering by giving. And we did talk about giving a little bit before, so maybe we won't talk about all these. But Paul rejoices at those who partnered with him in ministry by giving to his ministry. He also recognizes that sometimes churches miss out on this opportunity. You Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. So he's rejoicing in the Philippian church because they did give to aid of the saints. They did give to Paul's ministry needs at the time. We can take part in, we can partnership with one another. We can partnership with others by giving.
What's he talking about when he says the gift in 17?
Not that I seek the gift, but the fruit that increases to your credit. So Paul is making an appeal. Can you give toward the mission work that I'm doing? Paul's honest. I'm not trying to just get money. I'm actually trying to get you to take part in this labor, because then you might share in its fruit. And often we have this all wrong, because we think of other people's ministry as, that's what they're doing for their church. And sometimes we can get very focused on, well, what about the needs of our church? Or what about the needs of my family? Well, the truth is, if we are praying and the Lord is blessing and building his church and growing it in other places, that is going to make things better for our children, for our children's children. That is going to strengthen us, because who knows? Maybe we're praying for a church plant that's down in San Antonio, Texas, and a son in that congregation is hearing the gospel today, and tomorrow he's going to be going to seminary, and the next day he might be the next pastor of this congregation. I'm saying, years from now. But, we need to be praying for other works, because we need them to be praying for us. We're part of something bigger that Christ is doing. We could talk about applications for our congregation, for our denomination. We really should be praying, yes, in a more ecumenical way, praying for the broader Reformed community, praying for the Lord's faithfulness.
And for those individuals, yeah. We need to, as churches grow, there are other positions than the pastor. Assistant, like a Sunday school director.
Yeah, Sunday school teachers, deacons, deaconesses.
Gives training to the teachers. Yeah. Gives,
I think of the faithful labors of a gal who taught Sunday school in her church, and she did so faithfully for years. I think of, I can't remember if it's the church in Quinter or the church in Topeka, that it was like, so many in that class ended up living faithful Christian lives. And it wasn't, it was part of the families, what the Lord was working in the families, the Lord was working in the community, the Lord was working in all the ministry of the church there. But the Lord's pleased to bless, our labors And that has a fruitful effect far beyond what we often see or where we want to see. You know, I'm teaching this kid. I want him to hear what I'm saying. Well, the truth is, we need to realize that God is not just going to give fruit in our lifetime to our work. And so we need to work as those that are not just looking for the easy fruit, but we need to be faithful. What is the long-term fruit that God's going to give? Are we praying for even that? So having talked a little bit about giving before, let's move on to partnering by co-laboring. So prayer is, in a sense, laboring alongside someone who's away, pray for me, pray for your pastor. Boy, I need it. But there's also co-laboring. There's also joining in that work ourselves. And Paul speaks of those that have joined in his work as well. Romans 15, 3 through 4.
Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well.
Okay. A few things that are real profound here. Prisca and Aquila are a married couple, okay? And both of them are fellow workers in Christ Jesus. Paul recognizes that men and women labor with him in ministry. Maybe that's because they partner with prayer, which we've already mentioned. Maybe that's ways that they are facilitating the work. Here, they risk their necks for my life. They're looking out for Paul. Hey, Paul, these people are going to kill you. Let's find a way to save your life here. This actually happened because people hate Jesus Christ. They hated Paul when he preached Christ. And Paul says, these two are my fellow workers, and they labored alongside me. They looked out for my life. Give thanks for them. I give thanks for them. Other churches give thanks for them because of their labors. Maybe this is also implying, are we thankful for those who labor among us and also in the church around the world? We partner with them by thanking God for them. We partner with God by laboring alongside them, as Prisca and Aquila did here. Philippians 4, 2 through 3.
Okay. I entreat, I wasn't going to do this because of pronouncing the names.
You read ahead.
Euodia. And I entreat. Syntyche. I agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion or yoke fellow, help these women who have labored or strived side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement, I can do that one, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life.
Okay, so these two women, apparently they're fighting against each other. That never happens with women, I know, except in this situation. Paul says, these are yoke fellow. It was like, you know, they're oxen pulling the same cart. They have been right there next to Paul pulling. They have labored side by side with him in the gospel. Now this tells us, women, you can labor in the gospel. That is a good thing for you to do. Now, I do think there's a distinction between who can be called elders and who can't be. But that there's gospel ministry for everyone who's in the Lord. There's opportunity for a certain ministry and speaking of Christ and fellowship and opening your home and speaking to your neighbors as you have opportunity, speaking to many. Of the gospel, and together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life, Paul is telling us that as he labored, he didn't do so alone. Sometimes I think we can have a very wrong view that to really serve Christ, you got to go all alone by yourself to the jungles of Africa And that's where you have to be if you really want to serve Christ. Well, the truth is, Christ sent out his disciples two by two. And so sometimes he may be calling you, but if he's calling you, he better be calling someone else too. Because we labor together. We're not to be... And I think part of that is just Christ doesn't want to give all his glory to just one man. He wants just one person. He wants us to share that ministry, share the, be yoke fellows, pulling the same cart. One ox can't pull the load. We can't do this laboring by ourselves. And so Christ gets his glory by him putting the right people in the right place, working together, praying for one another, but also striving together in the gospel.
And because of his relationship with Jesus, he can know that these people are written in the book of life, that they will have life eternal for their service to the Lord.
Yes.
Is that a correct interpretation of
that?
Yeah,
I think he's this is maybe an application of I think this is not a supernatural Paul knowing who's eternally in the book of life.
Yeah.
I think it's a right and judicious use of Paul's assessment, as Jesus told us, you shall know them by their fruits. He's seen the character of these people's lives. He's seen the fruit of the Holy Spirit, that they have a heart for Christ. They love the things that Christ loves, and they hate the things that Christ hates in such a way that Paul is confident that they are in the book of life. I think we should be desiring people to be faithful, to be so growing in conformity to Christ that we have confidence about them, that their names are written in the book of life. We should all seek to have that confidence ourselves, striving to walk in the Spirit, that we grow in the character of Christ. That evidences that the Holy Spirit himself has been at work in us. So I think that's what's going on here. I don't know, am I wrong?
I'm not, I have to have time.
Okay.
I don't want to say yes or no if I'm not sure what I'm processing yet.
Okay, well, maybe I, one of my... difficulties is sometimes I talk.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. Don't ask me that question.
Okay.
Because I assume that you are right, actually.
Well, that's not always a fair assumption. Test all things by the scriptures. Let's.
And that lends to lazy listening too,
Well, let's.
Yeah, and that's not good.
Maybe I should say things that are wrong more often, keep people on their toes. No, but we always need to be testing everything by the word. Joe Allen, not infallible. Paul, as he writes the letter of the Colossians, is infallible. What we have of the word of God, this is what we know we can always trust. And so let's test all things by it. And let's spur one another that we would grow and that we might have confidence in these things. That we're so filled with the word, so filled with the Spirit, that this is what pours out of us. Colossians 4:11. These are the only men of the circumcision among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have been a comfort to me. So Paul is saying that there's fellow workers. Again, there's fellow workers. These were Jews that were laboring alongside him, and they've been a comfort to Paul. We could also look at Philemon 24. Philemon.
That's the chapter I didn't even know existed before I started studying.
Philemon is would be the last of the...
of the old?
Of the letters of Paul. The letters of Paul are gathered together from longest to shortest. So Romans...
and Corinthians is Paul's.
And the letter to the Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians and Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. So these are all the letters of Paul. They're arranged from longest to shortest. And then Hebrews is put after it because, was Hebrews written by Paul or not? I don't know. So Philemon, verse 24, it's only one chapter. And this is toward the end of it, and it says, so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. So there were those that labored alongside. They were fellow workers. They were taking part in the labor of Paul's ministry. But really, what should we see through all of this? Is that this is all Christ's ministry. And that's the thing here. Why would we give ourselves to praying for people around the world? Well, it's because they're laboring for Christ. And we've been brought into fellowship with Christ. And we want to see Christ glorified in his ministry there. Why would we give to people, maybe even people we don't even know, that God might bless their ministry and bless or ease the burden of the saints whom we've never met before? It'd be because Christ loves them, and so we love them. Why would we co-labor though in life's threatening situations, even with people trying to malign us? Well, it is because we know Christ and we love Christ, and we're willing to suffer even with people that we don't agree with on everything, but because we see that we are of the same heart regarding this. We have the Holy Spirit, and we love the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're loved by him. Okay, so just a few applications. I know we're almost out of time here, but often our focus can be on how to overcome local issues. But if we join to combat outside issues, that actually makes us work together. It makes us rely upon each other, such that those local issues, they might actually resolve themselves. Just a very different example that might be illustrative here is that a husband and wife are just fighting all the time. And she nitpicks him, he gets callous and doesn't want to talk to her. Boy, they have all these problems. Well, what if you can get this husband and wife to have some goal that they're trying to get to together? You say, okay, I want you two to work together to try to get out of debt. I want you two together to try to have this ministry that you're going to be doing together. Well, guess what? Suddenly, they have to work together. And some of the things that they nitpick against each other, maybe they aren't as focused on anymore because they've got to expend that same energy to accomplish something. I think this is what Christ would have us do. Sometimes we can get so burdened with ways that we just rub against each other wrong here or in the body as a congregation. Boy, maybe Christ's will would be that we just take our eyes off of ourselves and set our eyes on Christ. And the Lord can actually bless that and actually remove some of the burdens from us. Let's strive together in the trenches of difficult ministry through prayer, giving, and co-laboring. Friends, if you have some questions about some of the missions that maybe our denomination is doing, let's talk about that. There are some real difficult situations that our brothers and sisters are facing. Let's pray for them. Let's get on our knees. Let's spend some time in China, in Pakistan, in South Sudan. Let's spend some time there by prayer, because they shouldn't be alone in the trenches there, laboring for Christ. We are called to labor with them, in the very least, by prayer, and also giving, co-laboring as we're able to as well. And may Christ give us a shared identity, make us a band of brothers and sisters as we labor in the gospel. One of the things that, again, that husband and wife, if you give them a common goal, when they get through that and accomplish it together, they're going to have a shared joy of what they accomplished. As we labor together to do something in this community, we get to share that joy together if we co-labor in it from the beginning. Let's pray for these things. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are calling us into your co-laboring. You're calling us to pray for your ministry. You're calling us to give for your work and to join ourselves for your sake. And so, Lord, I pray that you would bless the ministry that's happening around the world. Lord, sanctify us. Mature us. Grow us in not just seeking our own needs, but together seeking what you would have us do. Lord, be glorified in all this. Lord, build your church. Lord, use us to build up one another in love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, this does conclude this class. I want you to all come back, though, next week. We're going to start a class on the Westminster Confession of Faith. And if you don't know what that is, come next week.